Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hey, friends, welcome back to a Call to Decision Ministries. This is Dustin Nemos filling in for Pastor Butch Paul, who's recovering from foot surgery and will be back with us by Thursday, he says. So we're praying for him. And he asked me to pray for a few other folks as well. One lady named Emily, he met in his hospital visit, I guess, who he asked to pray for her health and her pain. This is a lady who needs our prayer very much. And also Phil's daughter, Natalie, who is having some unexpected issues with her own health as she's away on holiday. So pray for them as well, please, and keep them in your thoughts. Now, tonight, Pastor Butch asked me to fill you in on what's really happening in the Middle East, and especially Iran right now. I'd also like to, if we have time, kind of mention what people are calling the Ron Wyatt prophecy, the guy who rediscovered Noah's Ark. So starting off, tonight's topic with what's going on in the Middle East, the Iran war and sort of World War III, really, it's all over the place now. Seems like we're at war with everyone, South America, Iran, Middle East, and many countries there. Seems like we're inching away closer to war with both China and Russia in the East, and maybe even some of our European allies, and throw Cuba in there for the mix. So there's a lot of war to go around, but I think we're going to have to stick with Iran tonight because there's just too much to cover. Now, how do we get there? How do we get into this situation with what's close to a regional superpower? Iran is no small fight to try to win. It's not like we usually are used to in America where we bully other countries with our superior power, lose a bunch of soldiers, but are largely left sort of comfortable at home. Now, war gets nasty, but generally it hasn't come to our own shores. And that may get different with this particular war because this is a big animal to take on. But how did we get here? Well, we've been 2 weeks away from nukes, Iranian nukes, for over two decades, nearly 30 years of we're 2 weeks away from Iranian nukes, 2 weeks away, 2 weeks away, never had any evidence of that. But Netanyahu has been saying it a long time, and he kept saying it until he got war, which is what he wanted the whole time. We won't go too much into how Netanyahu was caught funding Hamas in order to create the tensions that they can then create a solution for, problem, reaction, solution. But a couple of quick pointers to remind people from what happened in fairly recent history. The IAEA Director General went on CNN, not that I trust them, and he testified that Iran did not have any nuclear weapon in development. We also have Tulsi Gabbard, President Trump's own staff, DNI, who said that Iran has no nukes. Now, he said he didn't care when he was asked about this live on television. He was, I think, in the Air Force One when they asked him. So it's an agenda. We can see that there's no nukes. There's no reason to think that there's nukes. In fact, there's a lot of reasons to think there are no nukes in Iran. Now, we know who does have stolen illegal nukes that are not part of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That would be Israel. But there's really no reason to suspect Iran has nukes or wants to use the nukes on us. It's actually against their belief system to use nukes, at least their last leader. I don't know if it will continue that way. We may have actually inadvertently sort of led Iran into thinking they want nukes now, ironically, in a twisted sense of history. But a couple of reminders. President Trump has said on numerous occasions that the U.S. has obliterated Iran's military, and yet Iran is still launching missiles, still has control of the Strait of Hormuz, and now they're charging tolls for it to pass. It's not open anymore. And Iran is still attacking U.S. bases in the region. So in terms of winning the war, I don't think we are. I don't think that we have. And he seems to think that we have and has said it many times. So there seems to be a disconnect in what he's telling people or what he's being told and what's actually happening. And it's so bad that they're beginning to hide death of soldiers, mass casualties, in fact. But they're calling it Trump's body bags. For example, we have numerous, at least two U.S. service members killed in a strike in Jordan just recently. And this was being suppressed. But occasionally you'll see a couple here, a couple there slip through. We've actually in the past reported on mass casualties being covered up. And this is just one recent example in a long string of examples. We have not only this recent, for example, U.S. Central Command put out a statement from Tampa, Florida, July 17th, two U.S. service members in Jordan were killed in action as U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, and partner forces defended, they say, against Iranian ballistic missile and drone attacks. I take a little issue with defense. We're blowing up their schools and they're retaliating against our military bases. It is actually defense that they're doing, but, moving on. We also have, according to The Hill, the Pentagon has concealed dozens of U.S. military injuries in the latest Iran strikes. That's just where we had two a moment ago. Now we have dozens because more and more things come out as hours go on. We have from July 20th, recently. Yeah. Very recent, unacceptable behavior from the leadership in the U.S. when Hegseth is withholding, according to the New York Times, information on dozens now of U.S. military injuries from the Iran war. So you see just through the different, news headlines and articles that are coming up from various sources, not that I trust corporate media. I've helped break them. I don't trust them at all any further than I can throw them. And they are, in fact, fake news. But I stray neither to the left nor the right. So when it comes to, who's in power or can we trust them? No, don't trust politicians, Republicans or Democrats, not at all. So we're seeing a withholding of information of what they're calling Trump's body bags, but it gets worse as we go into the story and what's happening in the Middle East. We're going to go back even further a little bit. So I'm going to sort of review some of my notes from history. I also want to add before we get too far that the U.S. military is allegedly in partial revolt. Over 30 generals have refused ground invasion orders, and over 12 generals recently were fired, removed from command, including a major, very important, critical army general. They're investigating whether soldiers set fire deliberately to their own ship, the USS Gerald Ford, to try to end deployment into what they thought was a meat grinder suicide mission. And it was. They were right to do that. It saved their lives. We had a Marine sergeant's arm, veteran, broken by a senator for saying no one wants to fight for Israel. And it got worse. The mass casualties, kind of back to what we were discussing there. Trump was looking to ban top U.S. media and treason charges for fake footage of Iran hitting U.S. ships which was not fake, but he called it fake. But actual footage of Iran hitting U.S. ships, New York Times and the New York Post confirmed this later, but it turned out to be true. And he wanted to essentially call people treasonous for telling the truth about our soldiers being butchered. And that's a very slippery slope in terms of free speech. I'm here tonight filling in for Pastor Butch, but I'm a journalist. I'm a reporter. And that's scary for me, especially in wartime. We know what happens to wartime reporters, don't we? Just look at history. On 4/3/26 of this year, we also had another mass casualty incident. And this time it was reported by RT. Hundreds. We went from two to a dozen or two to dozens, now to hundreds, just in a couple of articles that we're going through here. This is from April. Hundreds of U.S. troops killed or injured in Iran war. The Intercept and RT, I guess, mirrored it. And they're covering up hundreds of casualties, perhaps thousands. If a fractional number of contractor injuries are added to the tally, then the casualty count for Americans and those on U.S. bases may top 13,600, it says. Now, at the time I was reporting, Iran's retaliation against our Middle Eastern bases have left us without Middle Eastern bases. There aren't many left. There were a lot of soldiers there that are not there anymore. They're hiding or they're dead. We reported how some were hiding and they were still targeted and either arrested or killed. They were on the run. Just like we have had abandoned soldiers supposedly rescued, but no, that was another psyop. So we're seeing thousands, now over 10,000 estimated dead across these Middle Eastern bases, not including the attacks on our ships, not including other smaller skirmishes and that sort of thing, but just the base attacks, just the stuff that we can confirm is being covered up through actual names and reports or estimations based on the obvious numbers of people that were there and are no longer there. Now they're pulling bodies out of the rubble in these bases now in some places. So we're just starting to see evidence of some of these deaths weeks later in some cases. Now, there is, let me pull up my article here. We talked about the over 10,000 troops that have now been, you know, assumed dead in combat. They're missing. The families are all over social media saying that there's a cover-up, that they're suppressing the real injuries, and it's led to, you know, in some cases, brain damage. I'm just going off memory here. I'll have to find that news article. But in some cases, they're causing damage to the soldiers because they're not getting the medical care that they need fast enough because it's not being registered as an injury quick enough because there's a suppression going on. They don't want to see a bunch of dead soldiers on the news, so there are no dead soldiers. But their families are still there, and their families are worried, sick. They don't want to see a bunch of sick and injured soldiers on the news, so they pretend that they're not there. But their families are begging across America on social media and at every avenue that they can reach, including trying to reach to the military and proper channels for health care for their injured loved ones who were injured in war, or just trying to figure out where they're at. We had numerous videos released that contradicted the official story. In one case, there was a press conference with Hegseth and President Trump about a rescue mission. The video released by Iran clearly showed several downed U.S. aircraft and a dead body of an American soldier, which directly contradicted what Pete Hegseth said, that no American soldiers had died in that particular mission. So a recap. March 1st. Trump says we will do regime change in Iran at any cost. March 10th, quote, we have finished entire Iran leadership, end quote. March 15th, Trump says Iran will have to open the Strait of Hormuz in the next 48 hours. Oh, gas prices have gone up since then. 5 days later, March 20th, Trump says I will control the Strait of Hormuz along with the Ayatollah, sort of a joint custody arrangement, but that was fake. The Ayatollah put out rebukes of that, saying that's fake news. Trump's lying. So there's no deal. And there's no victory because they're still bombing us and they still control the Strait of Hormuz and our gas is still going through the roof. March 25th, 5 days later, if Iran doesn't open the Strait of Hormuz, I will destroy their energy plants. 5 days after that, March 30th, Trump says, I can open Strait of Hormuz in just 2 minutes. And then Trump said, I'm ready to end the war, even if the Strait of Hormuz is not open. We're losing badly, but the people who are losing don't want to be seen as losing. They don't want to be seen as losing tens of thousands of soldiers, seen as losing the war, seen as losing the economic game that they're playing, trying to crush everyone into, you know, slavery, regime change across the world, America's pastime. If we're being honest, we know that. Left or right, we know that. And I'm neither. They used to call me far right, but now the people on the right call me far left, which makes no sense. And I'm just trying to keep the narrow path and stray, as the scriptures say, neither to the left nor to the right. I just stick to the truth. How hard is that? But a lot of people, they want to play teams. And that's how they get you. They get you with this left versus right paradigm, this order out of chaos, if you really want to go down the conspiracy rabbit holes. And I'm going to be a good boy today, and I'm going to try not to go too far down any particular rabbit holes and conspiracies, because it's not my show, and I want to be respectful. But if we're going down the rabbit holes a little bit, we know that there is a darker, let's say the deep state. This is like a 10-year-old term, but let's say the deep state. Okay, the rulers of darkness, the people who are in power, the hidden hand, the all-seeing eye, the Illuminati. What do these various terms mean? Well, there is an occult secret society or group of secret societies that rule our world. They have rituals, a belief system. They have their own Bibles. They have their own gods, statues, everything. They run the world. They're behind the human trafficking. They're behind the symbolism that ritually hails Satan in plain sight all over the place. All that satanic stuff, all that pagan stuff, that's them. And it's all in the scripture, these secret societies and how they have sort of hidden in society or under society, so to speak, sometimes literally, like Tunnelgate, in order to infiltrate Christianity, in order to infiltrate any society, really, and in order to dominate mankind, and how they do things like sacrifice humans and engage in human trafficking at just industrial levels of crime. Before I really covered all of these other topics in news, I personally was a human trafficking reporter. I had a conspiracy background growing up, but my passion was trying to help people with their health and also with their the deepest of all truths, that there are children being trafficked that have no voice of their own. I was big into Save the Children, you know, if you've heard of that movement that sort of disappeared now. And I can tell you from personal experience and having reported on it for many years now, almost a decade, that there are hundreds of thousands of children going missing just in the United States every year. It is industrial. It is criminal. It is real. It's not conspiracy. And you have plenty of evidence for it, including the Epstein files, the half that Trump did release. When he said he was going to release all of it, he gave us half. And then the Charlie Kirk thing happened the same day Republicans were voting on not releasing it, right? Isn't that another coincidence? Now, as we continue through the story of what's going on in Iran, I want to remind you that we have had a number of ceasefires that were never real. Now, this is a thing with Israel. If you've ever looked into their history, they've broken every single ceasefire they've ever done. Over 50 of them, I believe. That is an incredible lack of credibility. Someone who lies that much can never be trusted to tell the truth. Someone who says peace that often and then attacks you can never be trusted with peace. So when you see Israel in a ceasefire, you know they're going to break it. It's just enough time for them to pull out their wounded and reload before they come back at you again and bomb another school full of young children. Now, the reason that they did that and they don't feel bad about it is because a lot of the Iranian leadership had their children there. They bombed them again a second time later, and they got some of the parents who were in the Iranian leadership who were trying to save their children from the exploded school. They hit them again. They got the parents. They killed the leadership. Tactically, it worked. Morally, it was abhorrent, and they bombed children to kill their parents. And we were part of that. I know I sound like some sort of hippie in the 60s,
and I'm not. I abhor the left and their moral degeneracy. I'm no fan of the trannies and the purple hair. But the one thing I think that we can all agree on, actually I've looked at it, it is the one thing that both sides can agree on, is Israel cannot be trusted. And the ceasefire is being broken every single time is proof of that. We also had Trump basically doing the same thing. And I'm going to throw him in there with Israel because he's working closely with his lifelong friend, Netanyahu, to pull this, fake nukes war, just like they did in Iraq. It's the same thing again, weapons of mass destruction. But that's what it really was, is a weapon of mass distraction. They just wanted to take something. They wanted to, in the case of, Iraq, they wanted to go to ancient Babylon and take the mummy of Nimrod that they had recently discovered under the Euphrates River in a 3-story deep tomb. That's a fascinating story. If you've ever seen the mummy movies, that's what it's based on. They found the organ jars and everything. And then this ancient witch king mentioned in the Bible, well, we invaded it, killed 1 million people to steal that corpse and its canopic mummy organ jars and the resurrection-related cuneiform tablets in the Iraq Museum. Isn't that weird? What a strange military goal. But if you knew the elite's belief system, Mystery Babylon, what they're really into, it makes absolute sense. They've been writing about it a long time. In fact, Christ himself warned us in prophecy that when they gather in the desert with many eagles looking for a carcass, it's not him. Don't fall for it. And that's exactly what happened when America went to Iraq, killed a bunch of people, stole a corpse, came back and started investing a lot of that DARPA money and InQtel deep state money into what's called a genetic resurrection startup technology, basically playing Jurassic Park with this mummy, this ancient genetics. And that goes into the topic of the Nephilim and Genesis and why there was a flood and all these things. But back to the war. Never, ever trust Israel or Trump, it seems, in a ceasefire. It's not going to work out for you if you do. Now, we also had over, and these are not necessarily casualties, although I'm sure there were some, 1,500 soldiers, U.S. sailors, were forced out of a Bahrain base, an important Bahrain base, with missile and drone strikes. So where we didn't get our bases destroyed, we were forced to abandon them, and we're still digging soldiers out of the rubble. Now, the 10-point plan deal that was going around as a big victory, and Iran basically said, ha-ha, we win. Trump had to agree to pay compensation, withdraw forces, lift sanctions, accept enrichment, and agreed to Iranian control of the Strait of Hormuz. This was a big deal just a few days ago even. Where's that now? We're all bombing each other again. What happened to the big peace deal? What happened to the ceasefires? Why did we get in this war in the first place? They tell us we have to open the Strait of Hormuz, but it was open, wasn't it? It was open, and now it's not because of this war. It's like the snake that eats its own tail in the ancient stories. It's just a loop, a cycle, a deception. It's a pretext, if you want to use the proper term, a lie that's a useful excuse, a useful reason to go in and just do what you want anyway. So it's a pretext. Oh, we gotta open up the Strait of Hormuz because really they just want to go and conquer the last nation that doesn't have a central bank. And I am no fan of Iran. They are, in fact, ran by the occult. And this whole thing is a meat grinder to kill as many people as possible for the New World Order. And that gets into the deeper esoteric truths behind this. But I'm probably won't have time to cover all of that. So before the war, Iran did not control the Strait of Hormuz. Now it does. Iran was sanctioned, and then it wasn't. And now it is probably sanctioned again. I don't know if he's reinstated that, but like we're back to bombing them. They were not building a nuke, but now they probably will. And the U.S. bases in the Gulf were assets. Now they're liabilities and rubble full of dead people or in biblical terms, dead man's bones. Inflation was somewhat in control, not really, but it is now massively increasing. And that's by design as well. So we're seeing what we see with every war, don't we? Every war is based on lies. We saw it with the Gulf of Tonkin. We saw it with pretty much every war we've been in. Yes, the Japanese did attack us, but it was our fault. We forced them to attack us with the various things that we did to them, including public insults from our president, theft of all their assets, and a lot of other things. So it was a matter of honor and defense of their assets. Not that I agree with what they did, but I understand why they did it. So they manipulate things. They pull strings. They get us into wars that we don't belong in. Half the time it's with fellow Christians, what they call brother wars. But even if it's with Muslims, even if it's with China, you know, Trump likes to blame China, as he says, for all of the election fraud. And I don't think Epstein was working for Xi Jinping, if you know what I mean. There's a little bit of a rhyme there. Maybe I'll put that in a song. But I'm not buying it, and I hope that you won't either. Epstein was not a CCP agent. He was a Mossad agent. Let's be clear. And that's well established. So I believe now that we're in a situation where Trump wants to generate maximum bloodthirst and death between the West and the Middle East and has actually fully betrayed us. But I know that's a limb too far for some, and you don't have to agree with me. I get that. I have been studying this a long time, and I've come to some pretty strong opinions about it. But what's going on in the Middle East? I mean, I hope I'm wrong, frankly. I hope I'm wrong about a lot of the things that I talk about. I think I've told Pastor Butch this in the past. This stuff is a little bit of a black pill. Some of it can be a little bit depressing, and it can be hard. Scripture says in these times, and I believe we're in these times, the end times, that men's hearts will fail them for fear of what is coming on the earth. And without faith, I mean, my heart would have already failed me. So I can't imagine what it's like to be those without faith right now. It has to be lonely. It has to be a dark road. It has to be so hopeless because there are such dark things on the earth. In World War III, and that's what this is, make no mistake, it's not ending anytime soon. It has an agenda. We're nowhere near the end. And that agenda is basically the same thing Zelensky did to Ukraine. Zelensky is a Bolshevik. Putin is a Bolshevik. Yes, they say the Bolsheviks lost power, but no. We'll get to that in a second. We're coming up on commercial break. Thank you for being here with us.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do. Our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Hurd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. On the battlefield.
We were just discussing kind of, well, what's going on over in Iran, a little bit in depth, but kind of, well, glossing over a lot. There's a lot to cover here. Now, one thing I definitely want to bring up is the sort of the bloodthirsty nature. We talked about, it's all a psyop. It's all based on lies. It's designed with an agenda to kill. And we talked about the Bolsheviks and how they did not lose power, but pretended to, so that people would think they were free. And now we have two Bolsheviks. We have Putin, who is in fact a Bolshevik. In fact, both parents are Jewish and Bolshevik, and 95% of the Bolsheviks were Jewish. And Zelensky, who, well, pretended to be president as an actor on TV for a while and was basically a stripping monkey. I mean, he was some sort of degenerate stripper on TV or music video guy with chaps. It was kind of weird stuff. If you saw how he originated, he was not a politician until he was chosen to play one for TV. Just like he did, he was actually playing president on TV. So this actor was tapped to fill a role. He's not in power, but I use him as an example. I call it the Zelensky method. And that's when you have two Bolsheviks, in this case, sending all the Christians in their countries to kill each other. In the case of Zelensky, you have conscription vans grabbing young Christian men off the streets, even women in some cases. Old Christian men off the streets are grabbing them all, even the infirm, even the young. And they are sending them to war. They are sending them to die in a meat grinder that is not meant to be won. They have shot their own soldiers in the knee for refusing orders, or even chained them to trenches with chains. This is not a war that was meant to be won, and it's not a war that's you can see any sort of caring for their own soldiers on any of these fronts. They're just sending them to kill each other. Now, Zelensky's bragging about making Ukraine a new Israel at the same time that this is happening. And if you go into the history of why they're doing this, well, it was the Ukrainian Rus people who drove the Khazarians out of Khazaria way back when. And that's a part of this. That's sort of a middle chapter in the story. But I call it the Zelensky method. And that's when you have people sending their own people to die in a useless war, it seems like. But they're not really their own people. They don't really care about the locals, even though they're in power over them. They're Bolsheviks. They infiltrated just like the Bolsheviks did.
then they killed the government and took over after people found out what they were doing to children. One, Andrei Yushinsky, a little boy who was killed in rituals. Now, this Zelensky method is being applied, I believe, to a larger audience, a larger world now, as you see the West get involved in more wars with the Middle East and the South all at the same time, which, by the way, is a bad way to win a war. You don't want to fight on multiple fronts, especially all of them at the same time, especially as a famine, economic crisis, many crises all come together at the same time to converge. This is like pulling the rug out from under the people, and that's what's happening. And this Zelensky method could be what finally destroys European power. And we're talking, you know, prophetic end of time stuff when Edom rises. And as multiple prophecies say, including when Jacob prophesied to his sons, I'm sorry, when Israel prophesied to his sons, Jacob and Esau, talking about the blessing left to Esau was basically that he would live by the sword and he would be a servant to his brother until the end when he would take over, if you guys recall that prophecy. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. Edom is in the end taken over. But back to the war. The Zelensky method, I hope I'm wrong, is going to be used to set up a new world order and break the current powers and paradigms. And we're seeing that. Wars that are not meant to be won, wars that don't make any sense without treason, wars that are obviously meat grinders, where they're just shipping people off to die as quick as possible, and they're covering it up. Always the same people. Never a certain people. They're exempt from the draft. Did you know? We have Senator Tim Kaine accusing Pete Hegseth of telling people to kill all Muslims at a bar. Now, Islam is heresy, and Muslims should convert. And I don't want to be around Muslims, and I don't want them in my country. I don't trust them. But that doesn't mean every Arabic baby that we're dropping bombs on is a bad person. In fact, we're bombing Christians worse than we are Muslims. They target the Christian areas first. When you go to Lebanon, which was half Christian, it's half gone, literally gone, erased from maps, villages gone. Israel asked them to erase it, and they're gone from the Google Maps. Villages that had ancient history are disappeared. Like they were a wartime reporter. Little joke there. So if he's really shouting, kill all Muslims, is this the kind of temperament that we really want, though? Is this the kind of aggressive, hyper masculine macho wannabe that's really deciding our war tactics and our strategies and leading our troops? And now he wants to pump our soldiers full of testosterone, by the way. Yes, they want to start testing for testosterone and give them boosts. So just make them more aggressive. All the while, by the way, remember, and this is important, I can't believe I left this out, the Trump administration, I call it the Epstein administration, with Hegseth and his war cabinet, the ones that are left after the purge, all the generals that were fired and refused the ground invasion meat grinders that I talked about, that Zelensky method. Well, they're also telling people that Jesus wants you to be in this war. Yes. They're putting a biblical veneer, a white coat. This devil is coming in the form of an angel. They're telling people that Jesus wants you to go kill those babies, bomb those schoolgirls, flatten Gaza, kill all Muslims, to quote Hegseth. Is that the kind of temperament we want? I don't want someone like that leading me to war. Even if they were on my side, and even if they did have my best interest at heart, which I don't believe that these people do. I think that maybe you agree with me on that, many of you. So where does that leave us? Well, Trump said, quote, we're like pirates, and it's very profitable, end quote. And he's right. He is making a lot of money off this war. His family is enriching themselves more than ever. Insider trading, polymarket, gambling, which actually is worse than it seems. It's insidious because it incentivizes fake news and alternative media. It actually pays people to push what's popular rather than what's true. As if we needed any more of that, right? As if we needed any more evidence that these groups like Polymarket
were actually honest companies and not, well, outlets for Mossad to control the narrative, essentially, which is why they work with so many controlled opposition, which is a bit of a specialty of mine. So it's not going well for us, the people. It's going well for the elite. It's going well. Trump's got his ballroom, which doubled in size now. We have, you know, a little funny aside, I guess, is that while the world falls apart, the party just gets bigger. Let's take an example from right outside the White House. Have you seen that mess lately? And I'm not even talking about what's happening with the water, with the pool. I'm talking about what's happening with the UFC fighting cage match that destroyed the White House lawn. I'm talking about how he wants to cut down some of the oldest fruit orchards in the country around the White House to, and I forget the type of plant. I think it was cherries. I forget. In order to put a golf course. And how he's profiting from the UFC fights that he's then controlling the gambling on, like his son got caught trying to rig a match. So it's not even an honest, and I don't gamble. I don't watch the sports ball and I don't watch the wrestling. It's okay if you do, I'm not going to judge you. I don't have time for it. And frankly, I see too much of what's happening to those children that I mentioned that don't have a voice. So any spare time I get goes to that. I don't really do a lot of frivolity in my life. It's a very serious type of life I live, but I'm not going to judge people who want to go out and have fun or whatever, but it's a lie. Don't be gambling on it. Don't think that you're going to have some sort of like real win. It goes for the stock market. That goes for the wrestling. That goes for the football. That goes for all of it. It's all rigged. And we caught one of the Trump sons rigging the match. And we put that out. And then nothing really happened. So I don't trust it. But they're getting rich. We're not. They're having ballrooms that we can't afford to go to or dance in. Or even wear the clothes for. We can't even afford those clothes, probably, most of us. Now, in terms of what's happening around Iran, I want to give a little bit of time to that because we covered a lot of what's going on there. There's a lot more, but I think you got the idea. Now, why are we in Venezuela? Why are we in South America? Why are we in Lebanon, Syria, et cetera, et cetera? There's so many examples. Why are we in all these wars and why at the same time? In the case of Venezuela, I know what happened. The price of silver, bullion silver, was going through the roof because, well, we're in the early stages of hyperinflation and money doesn't mean anything anymore. So wherever there is a shortage, it's going to get crunched quickly. This has happened in silver. It's happened in nickel. It's happened in a number of assets in recent history, commodities, etc. And silver is a kind of an interesting, unique asset because, as you probably know, it's monetary. It's also a commodity, and it's also useful in all sorts of little technologies that are fairly recent, like cell phones and solar panels and all that, where you don't really get a chance to get it back. So it's used and it's gone. So it's a consumable, a big business consumable, especially with those new electric cars. So things like silver just go through the roof because suddenly there's a crunch of the supply and the cheap dollars that they're printing in mass are chasing it. And that's what happened. It caught up. That's why we invaded Venezuela. The oil was a bonus. They went for the big silver mines and they crushed the price of silver, which had tripled from 120 back down to 60. The real price, the physical price, which is not the paper price. That is what they did. They were so desperate. The banking system was about to crash harder than what the Wright brothers, not the Wright brothers, the Hunt brothers tried to do. The Wright brothers did the plane. The Hunt brothers tried to corner the market on silver. And that nearly happened recently. So we invaded Venezuela. We got the silver mines. We told people it was for the oil. But actually, we nearly had a banking collapse. So I know why we invaded Venezuela. Now, in terms of all the other aggression in South America, we're bombing farmers in Ecuador, telling people they're drug kingpins. We're bombing fisher boats, telling people they're drug narco terrorists. No charge, no crime, no innocent until proven guilty, no evidence. Just bombed them. Probably somebody that said something bad about Trump on social media, frankly, because that's where this is heading. That's how bad this is getting. Whether you like him or love him, no one should have this much power. And no one should be able to get away with bombing schools and civilians and all of this stuff. But this happens every time in war. Who are we kidding? We all know that they're not going to respect the law. They're not going to respect our rights. They're not going to respect our opinions. They're not going to respect our lives. And they're going to throw them away on whatever project they want. And right now, the New World Order calls for a lot of dead people because their big project, like Agenda 2030, calls for the death of 90% of mankind and a greatly reduced world population that they can control with all of their flock cameras for the sheep, because they think of us as a flock. Okay? That's why the data centers, that's why the flock camera is not just on the poles, but hidden in fake plants, hidden on tops of buildings and churches, hidden on moving vehicles, and soon on drones. The same kind of technology will be on mobile drone flock security apparatuses. They just have a drone that pops up and goes within that vicinity on a 5 minute or less, you know, need. So they'll have a kind of like a Terminator Skynet system, total surveillance. And they already have the robot soldiers, the robot dogs, and the drone carrier craft, basically a floating Jetson motorcycle thing that delivers the robots. So they can fly right to you and drop off a Terminator. It's worse than the Terminator movies, actually. What's coming? The Skynet with demons. Now, I know what's going on in the Middle East, not just Iran, but like Yemen and Syria. It's all of the countries that are bordering Israel, all the countries that they covet, all the land that they want. Just like they took a big chunk of Syria, the Golan Heights, when their proxy terrorists took it over. Just like they used Hamas, which Netanyahu funded, trained, and built, and is absolutely controlled by the Jews and Israel and Mossad. And they blame it on the Arabs and say, whoever is not with us is with Hamas. Well, no, Hamas is just more of you, Netanyahu. And that's why he got caught funding them billions of dollars. Or sorry, million. I think it was 30 million or something. It was a lot of money. I forget the number. It was a lot of money. And over a long period of time, huge, maybe it was billions of dollars. Maybe it was, it's at my Nakba article at the Sarah Payam. I forget the number. But it's all there. It's all recorded. The amount of money that is being sent to Hamas with the training, medical care, and the leaders being caught, captured, and confessing to being Mossad. It's all there. Everything we need to prove that point. It's a big scandal with Netanyahu, in fact, in Israel. It even came out in their own Knesset, their Congress. So yeah, they're funding Hamas. What happened with Hamas? What was it used for? Why do they want to fund their own supposed enemy, a supposed terrorist group? Well, every single school, every single hospital, every single child, every mother with a baby in her arm suddenly became a terrorist or hiding terrorists, and they blew them all up. That's a pretext. That's a lie again. It's not real. Those mothers carrying their babies were not terrorists. And if they were, it was probably because they were just defending their home from the people who had just killed their brother, sister, father, whatever. Or shot another mother holding a baby. And they were defending their home with rocks versus tanks. It's not exactly an equal war. And it is self-defense. So, while you might hate Muslims, and I know many people do, I understand. I don't hate them, but I understand. I don't want Muslims in my Christian nation. I don't want anybody practicing Satanism or Judaism here either. It's all the same thing. Same universe as Christianity, but different teams. Judeo-Christian makes as much sense as Islamo-Christian or Satano-Christian or ketchup-Christian. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, it's opposites. Oxymoronic, they call it. Now, we don't have a ton of time left, but, well, we know what's going on. They're basically just consolidating the Middle East. And I want to remind people that this actually goes back to something called the Oded Yinon Plan, which stands for the Greater Israel Expansion Plan. Or, if you really go and look at the map, it's basically Babylon restored. They want to bring back the ancient borders of Babylon, take it over, and rule a broken up, smaller group of nations in the Middle East that are weaker and unable to resist. They want to become the regional power of the world, center of the world, trade world. Historically, and perhaps again, coming up soon, the new Silk Road, etc. They want to position themselves to be the only remaining superpower after what comes next. A World War III that breaks everybody else. Starting with the West, the most powerful nations on the planet. The European plus UK, Australian, US alliance that has been an unbreakable form of military dominance until now. The true lost tribes of Israel, as God himself prophesied that would move north and west, have had a military dominance, just like Israel was supposed to until the end times. We talked about that earlier. A little bit of prophecy mentioned with, you know, Jacob and Esau. Now, that military dominance is no longer secure. And in closing, a couple of thoughts, I guess, before we get to our final moments and quick prayer to end this. I'm afraid we didn't get to questions, and I'm sorry. As we go through this plan of theirs, they not only intend to destroy Europe, the true lost tribes of Israel, because they are in fact Edom, and that's all about what they're, you know, into. That's their religion, that's their goal, that's their 2,000-year-old hatred, etc. They've been at it a long time. Protocols of the learned elders of Zion, all of that stuff is real. We have the real origins of it and how they try to pretend it's not real, etc. But remind yourselves this. Before Trump came, we didn't have World War III. We were not at odds with our own allies. Our own allies are now at odds with us. We have lost the goodwill of our friends. Our brotherly relationship with the UK, for example, is strained. Our relationship with the Europeans, our family, are strained, especially when we start threatening to, like, invade Iceland. Ridiculous stuff, threatening to invade Canada. This is the kind of stuff that, well, Trump has been doing. Threatening our own allies in the middle of a war. So, to the point, by the way, when he called for their help with Iran, they did not come. Not for months. They said it was not their fight. So, rather than speaking in terms of what he promised, I don't trust politicians and their words, even him. I made that mistake once. I used to trust him. Let's look at the results. The results are the world is breaking. The paradigm in the world order that we knew is breaking. There is a new world order coming, unfortunately. That's what they've been planning for a long time. And they're going to do that by destroying and killing everything that they can. Famine, drought, economic destruction, clergy plan, forced replacement, the smart cities, the weather weapons, the AI data centers to track and poison you, because they're really, there's a lot more than just data going on there. They're poisoning the environment around them. The HARP weather weapons, the directed energy weapons that burnt down Maui, all these things in the conspiracy world, they're bringing it all. I believe that we are in the end times, the great tribulation. I think a lot of people can see that now. I've been saying it for a few years, and I get that for years people just didn't want to see it, and I got a lot of pushback. But frankly, lately, I don't even have to convince people. I don't even have to bring up the arguments. They know it. Even simple people in my family who do not follow politics, who do not, you know, pay attention to these things, they're starting to wonder. They're starting to see things. They're starting to put together some, you know, my normie family are starting to put together some of the clues. I think that's a sign that we're very close to a breakthrough in consciousness, a great awakening, but a real one this time, because the last one was sort of co-opted, wasn't it? For a long time, it was unpopular to tell the truth about conspiracies or be anti-establishment. In this case, anti-war, whatever. But now it's starting to become popular. People love conspiracies. They want to see the truth. And that is the change that's ultimately going to lead us to, I believe, victory over this new world order. Because the truth has become popular. And, you know, Scripture says in the end times, knowledge would increase. And many would run to and fro, Daniel told us. I think we're there. People are running to and fro. We have the internet, and the internet and knowledge has increased. We're starting to put together many big dot things like meaning of life stuff, secrets of history, proof of the Bible. One thing I wanted to mention before we ran out of time was actually the Ron Wyatt prophecy, they call it. I'm not going to tell you Ron Wyatt is a prophet, but I believe what he said, that he met angels when he discovered the Ark of the Covenant and that they gave him a message. He basically said when the international laws or Noahide laws are passed requiring the breaking of the Ten Commandments, the Ark of the Covenant, the original Ten Commandments, and the immortal blood of Christ will be revealed to the world. If you're not familiar with Ron Wyatt, he was what we might call a biblical archaeologist, a real believer with the expertise to follow through. He spent his entire life, most of his money, and much of his son's lives to dig up the ancient past. He found Noah's Ark. He found the Red Sea crossing and the chariot wheels by the masses, the whole army down there, dead, buried in the water by the waves left behind by Moses and the Creator. He found the Ark of the Covenant, God's throne on earth, hidden away under where Christ himself was killed. If you haven't seen the story of what happened with Ron Wyatt, it's incredible. And check out his websites, check out his stories. We have his documentaries and his videos and all of the evidence as well on my websites, the Sarah Payam. I don't want to plug myself, but like it's there if you want to learn about this. And that Ron Wyatt prophecy, so to speak, when he found the Ark of the Covenant. And by the way, look, everybody knows where it's at now. No one can go there. They tried to go in there and they had to pay Ron Wyatt, or not pay, and they had to ask Ron Wyatt to go in there and tie a rope around people's ankles and drag out the dead bodies. If you approach this Ark of the Covenant, you will die. It is that simple. So it's still there, protected literally by angels who gave him a message after they showed him some of the contents of the Ark of the Covenant. And that message is that they're going to bring the Noahide law soon. And we already know that. That's not a secret. In fact, they're convening the international courts for it right now. The secret is that God knew all these things were coming. He prepared a way for us, the remnant, to find the truth and spread it. Thank you, friends. This is Dustin Nemos covering for Pastor Butch. I hope you guys have found this to be of value. We'll see you on the next one. We'll be back by Thursday. So pray for it.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.